Good morning. Welcome to morning prayer. Today we're going to be reading from Proverbs chapter 21. It's from verse 21 to 25. Proverbs 21, starting at verse 21. He who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor. A wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. He who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from trouble. Proud, haughty, scoffer are his names, who acts with insolent pride. The desire of the sluggard puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we offer you this day today, Lord, and would you bless this time, bless the teaching of this word, that it would resonate with us, and it would be more than head knowledge. It would also be heart knowledge that would help to guide us and transform us from within, Lord. We just give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Verse 21, it says, he who pursues righteousness and loyalty finds life, righteousness, and honor. So, want to highlight a word here. It says, he who pursues righteousness. It doesn't say, he who is righteous and loyal. It says, he who pursues it. And there's another proverb that says, a righteous man falls, I think, seven times or many times. But what makes him righteous is actually he gets back up. Which means it's not that you're perfect, but it's you keep trying. It's the pursuement. And we know the trouble we get into is when we think we are righteous. We are perfect, right? And that's when you think, I've made it. And the reality is when we're talking about righteousness and or what we're really talking about is self-righteousness, right? Because you're saying, I made it. How do you know you've made it? It's when you compare. When you look to other people and you judge their level of righteousness, and you see that you are above them, and then you say, oh, I am righteous. And that's exactly the picture that Jesus talks about when he's talking about two people praying, right? It's not that one, like, you could miss it, right? Which is, oh, the first person, he says something like, oh, I'm so grateful that I'm not like these other people. Right? So he's comparing. So there's nothing wrong with gratitude. And sometimes we come to this place of gratitude through comparison. Like, for example, oh, like, I don't know, sometimes you even tell your children, like, hey, you should feel fortunate with what you have. There are people in the world who are lacking, so you should be grateful. That's okay, because you're not comparing righteousness. Right? The problem is when you're comparing your righteousness. And that's what Jesus illustrates. This first man compares his righteousness to the other one. The second man, what does he do? He beats his chest and he basically confesses, I am not righteous, I am not worthy. And this is pleasing to the Lord because that's true. Right? None are righteous. Only God is righteous. And we know the righteousness that we pursue righteousness, because we know it's something we can never actually perfect, but it's okay because Jesus died on the cross for our sins, lived a perfect, righteous life. And so he died in our place. The judgment that we face, he receives. But what we receive is Jesus. And so we receive his righteousness. It's called imputed righteousness. That is what we receive. And so we need to remember what what pleases the Lord is that the pursuit of righteousness and loyalty. And when you do that, it says you find life, righteousness, and honor. And so you're going to feel purposeful if this is your objective, right? And you're going to please the Lord. Verse 22, it says, a wise man scales the city of the mighty and brings down the stronghold in which they trust. A wise man scales the city. So an unwise man, which is all of us, really, if you were to look to a city and it's fortified with a huge wall, and what this verse is, how would you, in your own knowledge, get over the wall? You would climb it, right? How do you overcome a wall? You climb it. But if it's a huge fortress and the wall is just towering, I don't know, 20, 30 meters, there's soldiers above looking, right? They have a perfect view of what's going on. To scale it, to climb it, and this would be a slow, arduous process, not just physically, but there's all this defense, it's impossible, right? It would be foolish. But a wise man is able to, right? The way we would go about it is brute force. Just whatever's the most obvious, simple way. Keep trying, hope for the best, but then there is God's force, I guess. Brute force, God's way. And it says it can bring down the stronghold in which they trust, these rulers. Example of this, great example, is Joshua, the walls of Jericho. Right? You would think the brute force way, how to overcome this fortress, these walls, is to go and fight it. Right? Bring so many soldiers that it would overwhelm and fight it. But what was God's way? God's wisdom. It was to march around. It didn't make any sense. But God's way is not just natural, it's supernatural. It's spiritual. And so, I mean, I don't know how, I know the results, which is the Jericho's walls came crumbling down. But I don't know the intricacies of what happened. I think maybe there's something about when they worshiped and shouted and the marching, those sound waves, the vibrations from the marching penetrated the wall exactly in a way that hit a weak spot, and it just came crumbling down. Kind of like, you know, when an opera singer sings a really high-pitched note, and then the glass shatters. I don't know. But this is God's way, God's wisdom, and it can do the miraculous, much more than what we can accomplish in our own strength. Verse 23, it says, he who guards his mouth and his tongue guards his soul from troubles. He who guards his mouth. So it's important. You know, the words we speak, the things we express from inside to out, there is power, there is impact. And so it's not always wise to speak your mind. And being authentic doesn't mean we say whatever's on our mind. Sometimes people think that, right? And they justify it. Hey, I'm just being the real me. And so I'm just saying. And sometimes people will say, hey, can I be real? And that's when they say something to you unfiltered. It's not always bad. Sometimes people are saying, can I be real? But they're still saying it in the most loving way possible, hopefully. But we need to have wisdom. Being real means you're aware of what you're feeling or thinking. But it doesn't mean you have to act on it, right? Especially, so we need to really filter things. Ask the question, as I'm about to say, what am I about to say? What's the point? Is this beneficial? Is it loving? And especially if you're of someone of authority, right? If you're a parent, you're a house church leader, you're just someone who's older and you have a voice, is it going to stumble people? Will this help things, especially in a conflict? Is this going to help things or escalate things? And this obviously doesn't apply to just speaking out loud. This could also be on the internet, right? Like on your Instagram or Facebook, when you share a public statement, people read it, and you want to be real. You want to be understood. You want to be known. And maybe a lot of time, I've done this, where you post something and you're just waiting for feedback. But is what you're sharing, is what you're posting actually beneficial? Is it good? And I know as a pastor, sometimes we have to call out people on this. You know, there are times people post stuff and they're just, you know, led by their emotions and they just passionately share something. And we're like, hey, is this wise? Is what you're sharing really beneficial? Is this what God is leading you to do? And if you're able to filter, if you're able to be wise, it says it guards his soul from troubles. Guards his soul from trouble. Because when we are unwise and just speak out, it can offend people, it can hurt people, it can create a seed of unforgiveness and bitterness in people if we're not careful, even if it's not our intention. And it's going to come back at us. It's going to cause us stress, strife. What's your problem? Why is that person acting that way? And oftentimes, not always, there's a reason. And that's something I've been helping my son to understand. Like, he gets into these conflicts or arguments with, you know, his sister, his school friends, and he's always the victim. And I always say to him, hey, why do you think they did that? Why do you think, like, they reacted in that way? Or, like, what happened beforehand? Did they just do it for no reason? What happened beforehand? And it's still in that process where I'm trying to get him to think. He's like, oh, nothing happened. And then, of course, his older sister comes, gives context, and a lot happened before that he contributed. So we need to be wise and guard our mouth and tongue. Verse 24, it says, proud, haughty, scoffer are his names, who acts with insolent pride. These are people who would not walk in wisdom, thus walk in the ways of the Lord. And so these are the type of people that think they are better than God. They wouldn't articulate it in that way, but they do things their way, right? They're self-righteous, self-reliant, and it says, who acts with insolent pride. And so this doesn't affect just God, it affects others. They're rude, arrogant, disrespectful. They don't care. They don't care who they speak to. They don't care if they are being mean. They don't care about the actions and the consequences. And so they just do and say whatever they feel like. And hey, these people are wonderful if they're in a good mood, right? They're like your best friend. But what happens when you disagree with them? And that's what I always say with any relationship, especially when you're dating. I always say, have you guys had a crazy fight yet? What happens when you disagree? And oftentimes, they've never had disagreements. And I'm always like, ooh, okay. It's not like a red flag, but I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to be interesting. And oftentimes, when do they finally have their disagreement, argument for the first time, and it's so hard? When they prepare for their wedding. Because for the first time, they need to work together. And there's so many details, there's so many things to do, so many responsibilities. Inevitably, at some point, you disagree. There's things you don't feel like doing, so you get a little lazy. Another person gets bitter, and then you have your first disagreement. It was kind of a tangent. But back to the main point is we just act out. People, the insolent and pride, they act out. And it's not just the words they speak. It could even be in sin. Right? It could be acting out, committing adultery. And usually even before that happens, you know, there could be alcohol involved. Like, you're like, oh, it's fine if I'm just hanging out with someone of the opposite sex alone. And you, like, it's things that, like, okay, technically maybe you're not sinning, but you know this situation is not wise, and so you don't even tell people about it. It's kind of secretive. What's going on that you would be that insolent? What's missing? What happened? What happened is you're missing the fear of God. The fear of God is no longer there. And you hear about pastors, lead pastors, these anointed men falling. And we're like, how could they do that? The fear of God is no longer there. They think they're above it. They can do whatever they want. They can get away with it. Right? And the fear of God is, no, God is just. God is knowing. In fact, His presence is in you. He knows. But the fear of God is not there. And we see this even with Pharaoh. Right? 10 plagues. He keeps going back on his word. Why? The lack of the fear of God. Verse 25. It says, the desire of the sluggard puts him to death. Puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work. The desires of the sluggard. So, lazy people. The sluggard. Like, slow. That's lazy. It says here that actually they have desires. We all have desires. We have deep desires. However, for a lazy person, those desires actually put them to death. Because what happens as someone who's lazy, and you have all these desires, there's all these things I wish I could do with my life. All these aspirations. You look to other people. You're like, oh, look at the way they're living their life. It's so inspiring. They're doing so much. I want that. And so, in some ways, you're coveting. You have all these unfulfilled desires. But if you have all these desires and they're not fulfilled, what happens? You get depressed, right? That's the result. You compare. And it says the reason is for his hands refuse to work. At the very root of it, they refuse to do anything about it. You have all these desires, but you're actually not willing to do anything about it. And now maybe a lie has come against them, against you. And it makes you feel like there's nothing I can do about it. I have no choice, right? That's a lie. You always have a choice. There's always something you can do about it. And I understand, for all of us, we want instant gratification. And so we want whatever we're making an effort into doing, any hard work that we're, or action we want to do, we want it to be the quick, painless, and easy. But that's not the case. It takes effort. And it's little steps of effort that can bring fulfillment and completion. And in fact, oftentimes, part of that, it's not just getting what you want, but oftentimes what brings fulfillment is the process in which you get what you want. Right? You work hard at something and get what you want, and you're like, wow, I really worked hard. There is value behind that. And that's kind of like, I would think, when you get a university degree. 3-4 years of life. In this day and age, you know, with internet, AI, it's so easy to cheat, right? You could do it not studying at all, just partying. At the end, you get this piece of paper that you paid so much money for. And I wonder how much gratification you would have. The gratification you have is from studying, working hard, getting all this and learning, right? And that piece of paper, actually, what it really reflects is the effort and knowledge that you've gained over the 4 years. And so, we need to work. Working is a blessing. And we can't just let our emotions lead us if we don't feel like it. We have to have the discipline and habit to overcome. The lazy man lives a life of frustration and disappointment. And I saw this video. It talked about the antidote to being depressed. And it said, you just need to do 4 things. 20 minutes, 4 things, 5 minutes each, very doable. Is that the first thing you do, 5 minutes, just worship the Lord. The second thing you need to do, and so worship kind of builds your spirit. The second thing you need to do, spend 5 minutes to exercise. Build up your body. The third thing you have to do is just find something in your home, something in your life to kind of fix, like a chore, or if there's something broken, take care of it. 5 minutes. It could be something, I don't know, change a light bulb. I don't know. It doesn't even have to be hard. Find one thing to do. And then the fourth and final thing is simply to do something for others. Serve one thing. And then this person said, after that, you can be as lazy and depressed as you want. But we know, right? Even that, we're thinking, yeah, if you can do that, those 4 things in 20 minutes. But we know that if you actually did those 4 things, right, you're probably not going to feel so lazy and depressed. In fact, after those 4 things, you're going to feel motivated to be like, what else can I do? What else can I do to be productive? And so sometimes we just need to act, not be lazy. And by grace up. I'm going to take 2 thoughts from today. One is, you know, I think we're all lazy to a certain degree. It's not comparing, but it's between you and the Lord. And so let's take a moment, take some time to reflect on your life, the way you've been doing things, the way you've been stewarding your free time, you know, in the evenings after, you know, after you're finished dinner or after you put your kids to sleep. How do you steward your time? Is it all about me? And again, righteousness, it's the pursuit. And so if that's you, don't feel condemned, but don't give up either. I understand, maybe by tonight, maybe you'll go back to the same habit, but don't give up. Just keep pursuing, right? It says a righteous man falls 7 times. They keep trying, fall, but they get back up. And so even with this, I know it's hard and tough to break habits, to be disciplined, but don't give up. And ask the Lord in this time, if there's things that has been difficult, ask for his help. Ask for his strength to overcome.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence, living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I I'm desperate for you. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me. Desperate for you. I'm desperate for you. I'm desperate for you.
Let's come to the front so we can pray together.